Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station. With today, we have a substitute, a guest host. She's been a guest on the show. Now she's a guest host. Sylvia, let's see if I get the name right, Pizzaroso. How's that? Welcome, Sylvia.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You want to identify who you are, just so everybody knows here again? You've not only been with the Chamber and all its search roles, but you now act as what?
Absolutely. So I'm the Finance Center Director of the Small Business Development Center. It's a center that is hosted by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
There you go. Okay. All right. And today you've got a financial resource for us that you're going to introduce us to and talk about, ripped from the headlines, right?
Absolutely. So super excited to be here. With us, we have Jack Williams, who represents the Small Business Administration. We'll be chatting about some resources available to the community due to the recent Garden Grove hazmat incident. So let's get us started. Let's take a step back to late May of this year. Garden Grove and surrounding areas faced an incredible tense week when an industrial tank containing thousands of gallons of chemicals exploded, forcing over 50,000 residents.
Did it explode or did it threaten to explode?
It threatened to explode,
there
yes.
There you go.
Thank you for the correction.
We got to correct it.
Yes,
threatened to explode.
Absolutely.
They were able to stop it before it exploded.
Yes. Right. Forcing over 50,000 residents to evacuate. From where you sit, Jack, what makes this specific incident such a unique emergency for Orange County?
First, thanks for the opportunity to be here and speak with you all. So I think the thing that makes this such a unique experience is because it was obviously unexpected. And the disaster really affected everyone in the business form from an economic standpoint. And that has been a lot of the issues that we've been seeing in the Orange County area.
Thank you for that. So while a potential explosion was thankfully averted, the disruption to daily life, local businesses, and the community over the Memorial Day weekend was massive. What were some of the immediate economic and community impacts you observed once the evacuation orders were finally lifted?
We noticed a lot of the tourism areas had been affected. Obviously, it was still a lot of tourism going on, probably because people had already been here in that area prior to the potential threat of the explosion. But a lot of the hotels, a lot of the restaurants, a lot of the shopping centers that would normally be more filled, the numbers had been down because of the potential threat of the explosion and the hazmat incident. So that's what we've been knowing throughout the economic side of it and the community side of it. It seems to be, I'm assuming, as common as it would be prior to that. We're still looking and getting numbers in regards to that situation. But the main thing has been the effect early on with tourism.
Got it. So Governor Newsom quickly declared a state emergency, followed by an SBA agency emergency declaration. Can you pull back the curtain for our listeners? How does the federal government evaluate an incident like this, chemical leak, versus a natural disaster to formally declare a disaster area?
Yeah, so when this happens, the governor of the respective state would send a request for a declaration. This declaration happens to fall under our EIDL program, meaning an economic injury disaster loan program, instead of a presidential declaration to where it would have physical damage assistance also available. With the economic side of it is strictly for businesses. So we will go in and evaluate to see how the areas have been affected, what areas have been affected in point of emphasis. And then we would deploy to the area to offer resource programs and in-person assistance for those affected.
Great to hear that. So what are the specific criteria or financial thresholds that turn a local crisis into a federally recognized emergency that activates agencies like SBA?
It would, for an EIDL, it would have to meet a certain threshold, or for in presidential also. So it would have to be a certain amount of businesses that have been impacted, a certain amount of homes that have been impacted for it to be actually declared. And once it meets that number, then the respective disaster declaration will be assigned to that.
Got it. Once the declaration then goes through, how quickly does the machine move? Walk us through how the federal government coordinates and mobilizes boots on the ground and provides those financial resources to their community.
Yeah, so once that actually is declared, we typically have boots on the ground within about 72 hours, more or less, depending on the situation and the height of the emergency. And once we actually get boots on the ground, then we start to implement a strategy of outreach efforts, whether that's in the form of our BRCs, which are our recovery centers, to offer assistance in an in-person format. If we don't have an area to where we actually have a physical location, then we'll have the potential to have our MRVs, which are our mobile recovery vehicles, to go into under-engaged and under-utilized areas to actually offer that assistance to get directly in front of the community. They may not be able to travel to those areas where the actual physical location is. So we try to do a really good job of giving a few different options for the community to receive these resources.
Got it. So let's talk about you for a moment. How long have you been with the Small Business Administration, and what originally drew you to this line of work?
I'm going on my third year with the agency right now. I think that what drew me to this particular occupation now in life is being able to actually go directly into communities and offer assistance, go directly to businesses in under-engaged areas and hard-to-reach areas, whether that's in rural areas or in minority areas, to actually offer them information and show them that, hey, it's a lot of support out here. These federally funded programs offer low interest rates to where you can get some of the best access to capital than you could in a traditional standpoint. Even with our requirements are much more lenient and much more palatable for a business as opposed to going to a traditional side with traditional banking. I learned that information, and then I just thought it would be a great opportunity to actually be the one to go and assist those areas and those communities with this information.
That's great information. I know we'll be discussing that a little bit in more detail. But to your point, yeah, this is a great loan for businesses seeking some assistance at this point. We'll touch on that in just a minute. When a disaster strikes and you get deployed to an area or newly opened business recovery center like the one in Garden Grove, what does your day-to-day role look like?
So typically our day-to-day is very active. We go into the communities. We try to get as access to as many businesses as possible, making that face-to-face relationship with business owners, small business owners in the community, whether that's in the downtown area to where a lot of these businesses are stationed, or whether that's on the inside of the communities to where they have mom-and-pop stores, all the way to meeting with some of the local and state officials to actually coordinate with outreach events to bring more of the community to a centralized location, and just offering that kind of information and insight to partner with those in position that have information and community trust to see how we can come in and assist. The agency, we always want to come in and actually offer our assistance as opposed to come in and just taking over an area. So we like to coordinate with those in SBDC, in our Rotary Clubs, and our Alliance Clubs, as well as the councilmen of the respective cities.
Got it. As you're out there in the community, you're interacting with business owners who are often very stressed out, displaced, or facing sudden revenue losses. How do you balance, and how does your team balance, the regulatory side of the federal aid with empathy so that people feel seen and heard during crisis?
I think the way that we balance that is by being present. Actually being present and letting them know that they do have, again, some support here. I found out that actually being in the communities shows them that, hey, there's someone that's here to offer us some assistance in a matter of crisis. So just being very front-facing with what we do and letting them know that we are here to help, and we have programs that offer immediate assistance, figuring out those ways to, like I stated earlier, being able to get into the communities and build that trust and rapport with family-owned businesses as well as just other businesses throughout the community that add a lot of value to the community members.
Many people in the community think that SBA only helps small businesses grow during normal times, but you play a massive role in recovery, and a lot of people are not aware of that. What specific types of assistance is the SBA offering right now for those affected by the Garden Grove incident?
The immediate assistance that we're offering right now will be the EIDL program that we spoke about. So the EIDL program is a federally funded program for small businesses, for nonprofit organizations, small agricultural cooperatives, to offer them immediate federal funded money in the form of up to $2 million in capital access. And that capital access can be used for working capital, it can be used for payrolls, it can be used for rents or any kind of debt that may have accrued throughout the disaster term. And then it also can be used to fix payable debts and used for inventory purchases or equipment purchases if needed as well.
Got it. Shun, some high-level information regarding the EIDL loans. What exactly is an EIDL? How does it work? You mentioned that the loan could be used for some of those things that you mentioned, like working capital mm-hmm. and rent. How does it work? Can you give me a high-level information as to the guidelines, perhaps interest rates, and how a business can apply for it?
Yeah, even if stated as rent, it would be rent used for the business rent as opposed to personal rent for a homeowner or a renter, a renter in this case. But the lease could definitely be something that would be slated underneath working capital or capital access for the business. So our small businesses and small agricultural cooperatives benefit from this program, as well as the aquaculture, if there's an area to where that is included in. These loans are intended to assist through the disaster recovery period. Our interest rates for our loans for businesses and small agricultural cooperatives are 4%. The nonprofit organizations are 3.625%. And that's also included if there is no credit available elsewhere. So a few factors factor in with that, but those are our only two requirements, the requirement for repayment ability as well as just credit history. There is not a specific number pertaining to the credit score, so it will be relative case by case. So it's not like someone that has a lower score wouldn't qualify. It would just depend on whatever their score is and however their history of the credit is. In regards to the terms, like I stated earlier, the terms are up to 30 years. Again, that's if no credit is available elsewhere. And then with these terms, we do not offer refinancing, but the capital, again, can be used in a plethora of ways.
Got it. So that is a very advantageous loan, 30-year repayment period at 4% rate. That's completely under market. So if any business owners are listening out there and feel that they could benefit from this program and they have been impacted, this will be a great loan to receive.
Yeah, most definitely, because they have the opportunity to not only get this loan at such a low interest rate with terms that are very favorable, but they also have the opportunity to receive this kind of financing, immediate financing, and not have to make a payment on the loan for the first 12 months, as well as for the first 12 months, no interest accrues. So essentially, you would get immediate access to capital, and then you wouldn't have to actually make payments on it until a full year goes by, which is why these programs from the agency are so good as opposed to traditional funding, because those traditional funding methods typically see payments to be made within the first 30 to 60 days.
Yeah, that's, again, very advantageous loan. But let's talk about some of the requirements, like a personal guarantee. Is a personal guarantee required for this loan?
I would say that would be, again, case by case, depending on whomever is actually applying. And that would also be relative to their, again, credit history and their repayment ability. If they are applying and they are the business owner and they are looking to receive funding from one of the programs and their credit history or their repayment ability may not be where it needs to be, then they will have the opportunity to either have a guarantor or they will have the opportunity to maybe put up collateral in that sense. With majority of our funding, you would put up collateral depending on if you have a large or you receive a large number offer for the loans. For our unsecured loans that are under $14,000, $15,000 and under, no collateral will be necessary.
Got it. What would you consider as collateral for this type of loan?
So collateral could be equipment. Collateral could be just anything in the form of that you have that is of value that would be accepted through our PDC team as being able to be used as collateral. So again, equipment, it could be a vehicle, it could be working equipment for the actual business, depending on what it is. Obviously, if it's a business like a bakery, then perhaps one of the expensive refrigerators or one of the expensive stoves or things of that nature. But it would just, again, be case by case, depending upon the industry of the business.
Got it. And time is always a factor in recovery. And what are the critical application deadlines that local businesses need to keep in mind so they don't miss out on this relief?
So currently, the deadline for application filing is March 11th, 2027. And that is one of the perks also of this being an economic injury disaster loan, because the physical loans, they have a shorter deadline for applying. But with the economic side of it, the deadline is always elongated. So they have up until next year to actually submit an application for that. And typically with situations like this, especially from an economic standpoint, we've noticed that a lot of businesses don't really see the effect that they have been faced with or that they have been involved with because they don't see immediate economic impact. But a business that may lose, because of a situation like this incident, that may lose $10,000 to $20,000 in a weekend or a week, and then the following week they make that money back, they're not thinking about that $10,000 to $20,000 as harsh as they would think about it maybe 2 to 3 months down the line. And then they start seeing the compound effect of what the disaster created. So that's why the application deadline is so stretched out for those to give them time to apply, look at their payrolls and look at all their working capital, et cetera, to actually see, okay, how have I been affected economically? How has this actually affected me? Have I had to lay people off? Have I had to cut back on working hours for people because of payroll situations? Have I not been able to make certain sales and certain revenue sales throughout the week or throughout the month that I would normally make? Just different type of things of that nature. So we want to make sure that people know that they do have time, but while time is until next year, I would always advise the business owner or the potential applicant to get that application in and at least start it early on, just in case there is any hiccups that are needed to be corrected with information or any kind of requested documentation.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. And something I may add is also for small business owners to be on top of your financials or your bookkeeping, because that's going to make you identify those losses. Oftentimes, small business owners, obviously, are wearing 30 hats, and they put the bookkeeping piece a little bit to the back burner. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that would be a piece of advice I would add, is to make sure that they're keeping up with their bookkeeping so that they can identify any potential losses they may have had because of the incident. So that will be very important. One thing I wanted to also ask you to clarify a piece that has been a little confusing for many people in the community. SBA had some recent changes around their SBA loans, especially the 504 and 7A loans that are only available for U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that legal permanent residents are able to qualify for EIDL loans. If you could clarify that information, that would be wonderful.
So with those loans, those would be on the other side of the agency, away from the Office of Disaster and Recovery. But typically with any of our programs, you have to be a U.S. citizen in order to receive the funding, the federally funded programs.
So in this case, the EIDL for this particular program, legal permanent residents would not qualify?
Yeah, no, but if they are U.S. citizens, then they would qualify.
Okay. So yeah, but because I was speaking with some of the folks from your office, and I believe they mentioned that on...
Legal U.S. residents qualify for the EIDL.
Okay, yeah, that the legal permanent residents would qualify for the EIDL loan, which is a little different than the other programs, which is the 504 and the 7A. Yeah, okay. So just to clarify that, legal permanent residents do qualify for disaster loans.
Yes, if they are a legal permanent residents or U.S. citizens, they would qualify.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you. Disasters affect the whole ecosystem beyond traditional small businesses. What are the types of federal, state, or community assistance are you aware that are available for the community right now?
Currently, I'm not aware of any of the other federal agencies that are actually assisting, aside from FEMA. I believe FEMA is offering assistance for this disaster that's going on right now. FEMA programs are a bit different than our programs because they are in the form of grants. But as far as any other federal programs, I'm not very aware of it right now.
Got it. And then I know I've been at the Business Recovery Center in Garden Grove over the last couple weeks, and I've noticed you guys have a van, so you're able to go out into the community with your van. Can you explain to you how that works? It makes it a little more convenient for small business owners to get the assistance they need because they don't have to actually leave their business. You're going to them. So if you can explain that, the van that is going out in the community.
Yeah, so that would be our MRV, Mobile Recovery Vehicle, which is a new program that the agency just added within the last year. So it has been very successful. We've seen it in a few other states aside from California, and we've had great success with it. So what we typically do is we would go to a location, a centralized location, and we would, instead of having it inside of the center like a BRC, we would have it in the MRV vehicle, to where we have computers, laptops, and actual CSRs that were just set up outside, maybe in a bank parking lot, a grocery parking lot, and allow those business owners in that area and then anyone else that wants to come to that area that may be not able to make it all the way to a BRC to come to that area and receive actual in-person assistance.
Got it. You've been out there for a couple weeks. Any one meeting that comes to mind when you met some business owners and what they told you and how you've been able to assist them by doing this outreach?
Yeah, so we've been able to go to a few different meetings throughout the area, throughout Orange County, since we've been here for the last few weeks. And what we've noticed is a lot of the businesses have been doing exactly what we stated earlier, getting their books and getting their information together to be able to receive these programs that we're offering, because these programs are very good programs and they were just unaware, and they may have been trying to get assistance with insurance early on. And then to find out that insurance may not cover a situation like this. The thing that they've been expressing gratitude for is just us being in the area, being present, and just trying to make it as easy for them to come in and get this assistance as possible.
And when somebody goes to the Business Recovery Center in Garden Grove, which we will give the address in just a minute, What can they expect? What information should they bring?
I would just bring any kind of personal identifiable information early on. And then once you go in, it'll be a CSR to assist you with the application process. And once you finish the application process, you will have completed a portal inside of our website. And that's where you will receive any kind of messaging, any kind of information pertaining to your application. And if they need any additional documentation at that point, they'll contact you there or by phone and notify you that, hey, we may need information for tax returns or any kind of additional information as far as business statements or banking statements. But that will all be done through the portal once you actually leave the BRC after completing your application.
Got it. Do you have that address for our community?
Our app, let's see, the BRC right now, it is located in Garden Grove. Let's see the address.
I believe it's 12966 East Euclid, I believe, in Garden Grove.
In Garden Grove?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small business owners, if you're interested in going in person to the Business Recovery Center, the address is 12966 East Euclid, Garden Grove. And they can also visit the SBA website, right?
The SBA website is lending.sba.gov or disastercustomerservice@sba.gov. And if you also want to give the agency a call to actually get assistance, it would be 1-800-659-2955. That's 1-800-659-2955.
Somebody had a quick question here on, just sent us in by text here. How long are you guys going to be there? How long do you stay on site? Is this for a year, for a month, for a day?
So currently, we don't have a end date for the declaration. The BRC is set up Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. So it will be someone that will be available there to assist throughout the week. And we also have the MRV events to where we are currently coordinating to just have those in different locations. Yesterday, we had one at the Westminster location. What we're doing is coordinating with officials to keep this information circulating throughout the social media channels in the area, as well as newsletters throughout the area also.
Got it. And also, to add to that, even though the Business Recovery Center may not be there indefinitely, obviously, they can reach out to the SBA via the 800 number online. And another resource is also the Small Business Development Center. So my team, the Finance Center team, is here ready to assist small business owners who are needing assistance with the application process. They can reach out to us as well, and we'll be able to help them out.
And how do they reach that to you guys?
Our phone
lots
number,
of numbers and dates and stuff
lots
here.
Lots of numbers and dates. The phone number for the Small Business Development Center, it's 800-616-7232. And they can reach out to that phone number and let them know I need assistance with the EIDL loan, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, and they will be then scheduled with a Finance Center consultant that will help them through this loan application process.
One last question. What's it look like on the ground? I haven't been over to Garden Grove. It certainly scared the heck out of everybody. This giant container, this giant silo filled with, turned out to be hazardous explosive chemicals. Probably never even knew it was there. Something to make, I don't know, aircraft windshields stronger or something here. Is it is, I know it's not their job to contain it and to assess it, but is the danger past? Are we in a recovery stage, or is it still scary over there?
How would you assess it, Jack?
Obviously, are people still scared over there?
Yeah. I wouldn't say scared, or wouldn't really apply that term to it. But what I would say is that I believe the containment has been done. We have not actually went into the area because of the severity of the materials over there. It's not really safe for us to go. But the area and the community looks like they have rallied around everyone over there to offer assistance and just be of support.
Got it. And one thing I need to add is, if you are a business not necessarily located in that immediate area, but you do business with other businesses that are located there.
You sell them stuff or something.
Yes, okay. And because of that, you have been impacted. You too could qualify for this disaster loan. You could be.
Yeah, they would be some of the main people that we would get the information out to, because they don't realize, like I stated earlier, the actual effects of what has occurred until months after, because they do think that because they were not in the immediate impacted area, that they were not impacted, and then they find out that businesses that they would do in the Garden Grove area have not been able to maybe keep that business up or make those same amount of purchases from businesses that are out maybe in Huntington Beach or the areas that are in San Bernardino County or Riverside County, because they feel like they're so far away from the actual impact that it wouldn't have impacted them. And then once they realize that, no, it is a ripple effect of this economic situation, then they realize, yeah, I was affected and I do need some resources. So that's where we step in again, especially with the situation with commute ability, that has always affected businesses that are not in the immediately impacted area.
Yeah, we saw that quite a bit when we had the fires last year. The fires happened in LA, but mm-hmm. there were a lot of Orange County based businesses that were doing businesses in those areas.
Correct.
Obviously were impacted. They were not located in the area, but they were impacted because they were doing business in there. So mm-hmm. it's something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. You don't have to necessarily be in the impacted area. But if you've been affected, because let's say you were getting ready to sign a contract with a Garden Grove-based company, mm-hmm. and because of that, you no longer have that contract, you may have been impacted. So something to consider.
For sure. Yeah, we just had a conversation with a garbage company that is relatively near where the explosion happened, and they were affected tremendously by the explosion or by the incident. And with that being said, they were not able to attend to 11 cities just inside of the Orange County area. So that was a backup for just garbage and sanitary issues. And then also that company does nationwide, so they were not able to actually get some of their trucks and units to other areas outside of Orange County. So it's been a bigger situation than what people may have initially thought or heard about. So we just want to really urge all business owners, nonprofits, to actually look into the programs and get the opportunity to get some information. And even if you don't want to receive and go all the way through with it, it's still a good idea to just apply. You will much rather want to have the opportunity to have the resources available, as opposed to 6 months down the line, you don't have the resources available, and then you realize you're in a situation to where those could have been beneficial.
Thank you so much. To end our amazing conversation, one more time, if you could please provide our audience the website where they can find the resources and the phone number.
Yes, absolutely. So the website is lending.sba.gov, and the other website would be disastercustomerservice@sba.gov. Our phone number is 1-800-659-2955. That's 1-800-659-2955.
And once again, the Small Business Development Center in Orange County and the Inland Empire is ready to assist with this process. We are hosted by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, so we're here to assist as well. Thank you so much, Jack. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you also.
There you have it. Some useful information. If you're in that area or know people in that area or affected by what happened in that area, check it out. The EIDL loans available through all the programs we've discussed here today, the SBA and others. All that and more is why you should tune in every week to check out our community, because our community is your community, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.